Today, I'm going to preach on transformation. This is Halloween week. You know, everybody has their own views of Halloween. I know Halloween is a very strange holiday, not just for the fact that, you know, there's all the dressing up and everything, but just how it came about. I don't even really call it a holiday, but it's an observance going back to the old world where people were very superstitious. They believed that on November 31st, the veil between life and death became very thin. And people believed, and I don't know who would have promoted this concept, but that the spirits of dead people can cross over into the world of the living and roam among the living for one night. It's a night where a lot of witchcraft was done, dark magic, enchantments. People would try to do enchantments and so on. It's a very dark time. And then people got the idea that if someone died and their spirit comes back and they're mad at you about something, they might come and try to hurt you. So disguise yourself. Disguise yourself. Put on a disguise. And if they come looking for you and they don't recognize you, then they'll leave you alone. Also, you can take pumpkins and gourds and carve scary faces on them and put them in front of your house, and you'll scare the spirits away that might come on that night to try to do you harm. Kind of a weird celebration or a weird observance, and it has evolved into the celebration that we do today, where kids dress up and we give them candy and we still carve the pumpkins and put them out and so on. And I have some very fond memories of trick or treat. In fact, it seems so strange now, but we thought going up into Fitchburg and going to all those houses, which is like 15, and getting free candy. I mean, free candy. I mean, you just walk up to the door and you get free candy. We thought it was the coolest thing in the world, and we waited for that day. We waited for that day to get all this free candy. I have a couple memories. One, my older sister was blind, and one year I was assigned to lead her around. And I remember leading her through a pile of leaves that were only a couple inches thick, and under that was water. And I led her right through that. I escaped. She ended up in the water, and she's yelling at me, saying, "What's the matter with you? Can't you lead the blind?" You know, and I was, well, you know, sorry. I remember one night I was walking along in Fitchburg there, and all of a sudden I see candy on the ground. And I'm going, whoa. And I'm picking it up and putting it in my little bag. All the way through town, look at there, man, I've struck gold, you know. Next morning on the school bus, there's a little girl about two rows up from me. She's going, "My bag last night had a hole in it, and I lost all my candy." And that's when you recite your favorite proverb, losers, weepers, finders, keepers. But we'd go home and dump that stuff out, and just, man, we struck gold, you know. And I enjoy watching the kids dress up and just see them, you know, just having a good time. I do not like, since the light of God came into my life, I do not like to see the ghouly dark side of Halloween. We're going to see, I guess we don't see quite as much anymore, but people dressing up as witches and devils and so on. And there's one thing, I just cannot comprehend this infatuation with zombies. Zombies? Seriously? You know, zombies? I flipped around TV trying to find something, and they got shows about zombies now where they're just shooting them and killing them and blowing them away. And I'm thinking, what? I just can't wrap my head around this. And I was watching the news the other day, and they said, "We're going to have a zombie walk in Lansing." And then they showed these people like... And I'm thinking, this is, I just can't wrap my head around this for two reasons. Number one, that people got nothing better to do than do that. And then number two, that the news media would act like it was newsworthy to tell everybody about. I just cannot wrap my head around it. And it's just one of these things of this world that just don't make sense. We may see some dressed up like the devil, and the text that I chose to look at this morning, talks about the devil, how he transforms himself. In fact, yesterday at the parade, there was a, we went by a house and there was a mother came out with her little boy. And the mother used to come here as a teenager. And I saw her, a very lovely lady. And I remembered her when she was a teen. And I didn't realize she lived there. And now she lives there. She's got this son. And he had his costume on as a transformer. And then I was, afterward, I stopped and talked to her a little bit and met her son. And I looked at him and I said, I think you're a transformer that's already transformed, you know, the semi that, you know, he's now walking around. But it was a pretty cool costume. And she made the comment. She said, I was working on his costume for next Saturday. And when I saw the fire trucks lining up today, I thought, is today the parade? She thought it was next Saturday. And so she real quick, I think she duct taped his costume to him because she didn't have it all done and sent him out for the parade. And so he caught the tail end of it. But I was looking at him as a little transformer. And I just got thinking about, you know, kids putting costumes on and transforming themselves into something different and all that the Bible has to say about transformation. The word transformation is used several times in the Bible, and we do find that there are three concepts behind transformation. Actually, the Greek word for transformation or transform is, there's two words. One is metamorpho, which that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Metamorphosis, something changes. Then there's the Greek word metaschemazo, which means something is, it stays the same, but it just looks different. So there's three concepts to transformation. Making something look different, but it's the same. That's like a child putting on a costume. It's still the child. You know, regardless of, it is weird sometimes seeing somebody with certain masks, you know, and when sometimes you look in their eyes and it's just weird. And you know that it's the same person behind that mask, but they just look different. Transformation, meaning the outside is changed, but the inside is still the same. There's the concept of transformation means that something completely changes. It changes composition or its state of being. And I mentioned earlier, like cider turning to vinegar. That's a transformation. But then there's a third concept that the Bible talks about, and that is to completely, something is completely changed to a different nature. And that's a transformation that's hard to fathom. How can something go from one nature to another nature? A lot of times when you think of transformation, one of the most amazing transformations of nature is when you've got a caterpillar that spins itself into a little, what they call it, pupa, and into a chrysalis or whatever. And then it hatches out and it is transformed. You know, it's still basically the same thing that went in, but it's now got wings. And it takes off for the sky. I mean, that is one of the most amazing transformations you ever see. Well, the Bible talks about these three different concepts of transformation. First of all, we looked at our text this morning. The devil transforms himself, the Bible says here, into an angel of light. And as I mentioned this morning, this is where Paul, even in Paul's day, Jesus hadn't been gone very long when he went back to heaven that there were false teachers teaching in Jesus' name. They were claiming to be teachers of Jesus, but Jesus hadn't been gone very long. And these false teachers were teaching falsehood. And Paul took a firm stand against these people. And he said, listen, if anybody, well, look at verse 4, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Here's where Paul says, for if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. This is kind of a sad verse because Paul is saying, you know, there's false teachers out there. There's false preachers. They'll preach a different Jesus. And he says, and the thing that concerns me is you'll put up with them. You know, this is kind of a scary thing, but I feel this sometimes. Sometimes I look at things happening out there in Christianity And I think surely Christians are smarter than that. Christians are smarter than that to get swallowed up by something, and sure enough, they'll follow along. I'll just mention a name here, Jim Baker, the PTL guy. He's got a new show now where he's selling. Someone was telling me the other day he's got a new show. He can't resist being on television and preaching in Jesus' name. And now he's selling end-time survival kits. I remember when he first came on the scene, I was out calling, and I stopped at a home of an elderly couple, and the wife said, "Oh, Pastor, there's this new show that's come on TV, and I want you to see it. It's called PTL, and I want you to watch it. It's going to come on here in just a minute, and I want you to watch it and tell me what you think." And so it started up, and here come Jim Baker and Tammy Faye, and there's a whole lot of glitz and glitter, and I look at it, and I'm thinking, come on, you know, Christians need to be smarter than this. And when it got done, she said, "So, you know, I watched a little bit," and I said, "Well, I got to get going." She said, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, to be honest with you, it just looks like a bunch of Hollywood glitz and glamour." And I said, "And where in the world she got her makeup artist from, I don't know." And she said, "You're just so negative." I thought, well, you ask. If you don't want my opinion, don't ask for it, okay? And then, of course, we watched as that whole thing built up and then came collapsing down. But the whole time, I'm just wondering, aren't Christians smarter than this? Aren't Christians smarter than this? Last Sunday, we were down in, you know, for our nephew's wedding. And in the morning, I turned on the cable TV in the hotel room. And every preacher that came on there was asking people for money. I mean, that was the first thing, money, money, money. And I'm thinking, how do they survive? By people giving them money. How many times have I had someone tell me, I like you, I like your church, but I watch TV, I watch preachers on TV on Sunday morning. And I think, well, that's fine. When someone dies in your family, call them to do your funeral, please. In fact, I've made that comment before, but I don't have time to get into a lot of stuff. But there was a family that moved into our area years ago, came to the service here just a couple times, enough to get acquainted with me and for me to get acquainted with them. And then they wouldn't come to church anymore. And I went and called on them one day, and they said, "Well, we really like Jimmy Swaggart, and we watch him on Sunday morning. He comes on TV when your services are going on, so we watch Jimmy Swaggart." I said, "Well, okay, fine," you know, and I left. And then a year later, her husband dropped dead of a heart attack. And she called me and she said, "We want you to do his funeral." And I was that close to saying, "Just call Jimmy. just call Jimmy. Don't call me. Call Jimmy." Would that have been wrong? Don't even answer. But you know what? You know what I said? I said, "I'd be happy to eulogize your husband and lay him to rest. But where was Jimmy when we needed him, you know?" Counting his money. You know, and you might like him, fine. If you like him, fine. I'm just telling you the truth about it. Christians ought to be smarter than a lot of times we act. Here, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and they got these preachers coming in that are preaching a different Jesus. And Paul said, "The thing that bothers me is you might put up with them. You might well bear with him, even though he's preaching a different gospel. He's preaching a different Jesus." Christians need to have discernment. You know, you can't have discernment unless you know your Bible, unless you get into your scriptures, unless you understand the true nature of Jesus and true nature of salvation. And sometimes I look at what's going on out there on the Christian scene, and I think Christians got to be smarter than this. I mean, you know, we don't want to be negative and against everything. We want to be loving. I'm more interested in what we do believe, rather what we do rather than what we don't do. But we need to have discernment. And Paul is saying there's going to be false teachers out there. And he says, and it concerns me when Christians will actually bear with them. and say, well, Paul, quit being so negative. You're so narrow, you know. We need to be more open-minded and accept what these preachers have to say. And Paul goes on to say then, and he says, listen, he says, you got to be cunning. You got to be smart. He says, because in verse 13, then he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, here's the scary part. He says, these guys are deceitful. They're false. And he says, yet they'll transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. They'll look and sound so good. They'll look and sound so good that they deceive many people. And then he goes on and says in verse 14, and no marvel. It shouldn't surprise us. He says, because Satan is transformed into an angel of light. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. And this is the scariest thing about the devil. He is so cunning. You've got to understand his nature and what he does, because you won't recognize him when he comes. I made the comment, you know, as we started the service today, that artists years ago, and I assume this goes back to the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages, however you want to call it, when artists started, they wanted to get a reaction of people out of the character of Satan. And they probably went into the Bible and kind of pulled out things, and then an artist came up with this concept of the devil. The Bible calls him a red dragon. Dragons have tails. The last dragon I saw, anyway, had a tail. I think dragons did exist. I think they were part of the dinosaur species that slowly died out. Most of them died in the flood. Afterward, I think people probably liked to kill them for sport. We see how that goes. There's always somebody that likes to kill something bigger than them. And they may have been good to eat. I don't know. But they slowly, you know, I thought that was the coolest thing the other day when those farmers found that mastodon or that woolly mammoth. Skeleton over in Chelsea. I'm thinking, yeah, we're not living in the land that time forgot. You know, there's things around here. The dragons, there are pictures of them. There's artist paintings of them, and no doubt people must have encountered dragons at some point. And to me, they would be the dinosaur species that slowly went extinct. You take the concept that the devil's a red dragon, dragon's got tails, dragons would have horns. And so some artists came up with this concept of the devil with the horns and the tail with the forked tail, or the pointy tail. And this red, and probably borrowing some things out of the Bible and making a character that would be scary. If children see it, it's just going to invoke a reaction from you that would be scary. The problem is, that's what the devil's like in nature, but that's not what the devil looks like on the outside. And when it comes to the devil and when it comes to sin, the devil is so cunning that he's not going to present himself as some scary thing. He's not going to present sin to us as that would scare us, scare the bejeebies out of us, and we would run from it. Sin is going to look fun. The devil's going to look fun. Sin's going to look fun. The devil's going to look fulfilling. Sin is going to look fulfilling. I mean, how else can you explain Christians? And I see it so often in our young people. They'll grow up in church, learning the difference between Jesus and the devil, only to become older teenagers and go out there and chase the devil. And I see it happen. I've watched for years as this has happened. In a way, I felt better about my relationship with the Lord because I went to church as a child, but then as a teen, I was out there in the world, and I came to the place where I thought, you know, the world's got nothing to offer. The world has nothing to offer that's fulfilling. And I found fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, it's a relationship that's like none other. I mean, you can have fun without looking over your shoulder, wondering if the cops are going to catch you. You can have clean fun. You can enjoy life. You can enjoy the fullness of the Spirit. You can enjoy salvation. You enjoy everything that Jesus had. The world's got nothing to offer out there. And sometimes my heart weeps for children that grew up in church, and then as teens, they become so infatuated with the world that the sin lures them away. And for a while, I'll go try to catch up with them, and they act like, you know what? I have found what life's really all about. And you sit there and you just pray for them and you say, you know what? I just hope and pray that they don't mess up their whole future in this momentary infatuation with the world, because the devil has got them tricked. And then a few years later, they might come back and say, biggest mistake I ever made. Biggest mistake I ever made. I wish I'd have listened. I feel like saying, I wish you had too. The devil is tricky. He's so tricky, and he makes sin look good. He makes sin look fulfilling. He'll deceive a person to where a person say, Jesus can't fulfill me, but the devil can. Sin will fulfill me. Only to find out that the devil pays off in counterfeit. It's counterfeit. You know, if you were walking along the road and you saw a bunch of $100 bills on the ground, you'd be like me with that Halloween candy. You'd be scooping up those $100 bills, and you'd be counting them, and you'd go home and you'd put them in a stack and you'd say, I'm a wealthy person. And you'd feel real good for a little while, and then you'd go try to spend that. And then someone would say, you know, this is counterfeit, every bit of it. And your high would suddenly go to a low, and you'd say, I ain't rich at all. I got nothing but counterfeit. That's what sin is. That's what the devil is. It looks good, but it's counterfeit. And by the time you realize it, sometimes it's too late. Sometimes it's too late. Now, I'll tell you this. There is always forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And I'm a good example of that. You find complete forgiveness in Jesus Christ. I don't care what you've done. Christ will forgive you. There's only one sin that he won't forgive, and that's blasphemy. And if you're worried about it, you haven't done it. We don't know what blasphemy is, but I'll tell you this. Don't even worry about it. If you're concerned, I've had people come to me every once in a while and say, I'm afraid I blaspheme the Spirit. I say, if you feel guilty about it, you haven't done it. Christ will forgive us of every sin. But you know, you go through life, and when you've scarred yourself, you never get over the scars. Scars will always be there. So hopefully, we don't wound ourselves. We can keep ourselves from being wounded if we completely follow Jesus Christ and stay out of that field of sin and stay away from that sin of the devil. The devil is tricky. He's no red, fearful creature that would send us running. He's going to draw us to him. And we need to understand that and protect ourselves. I'll tell you what, every once in a while I'll start looking at my body. I'll be washing my hands. And I'll say, man, where did I get all these scars? And you know, we can all do the same thing. You can look at your hands, you can look at your body, and you can say, oh, I remember that. I remember when I got that scar. Man, that hurt. You know? Yeah, and I remember that one. Boy, I remember that moment when I sliced myself with that razor knife and it went right down to the bone. I remember that one. And I remember all these scars. You know what? Nowadays you got something called mechanic's gloves that protects you from a lot of that stuff. Oh, would to be that we had our spiritual gloves on all the time. We can protect ourselves from a lot of scars. The devil is tricky. He transforms himself into an angel of light. In a way, the devil is the ultimate trick-or-treater. You know, he puts on a false front to look a certain way, when in reality, inside, he's not changed at all. His outside is changed, but his inside is not. I'm just gonna run to the last passage of scripture, jump over some of this, but let's just go to Romans 12, and we'll close with this verse of scripture. You know, there's transformations which just change the outside, and we see a lot of that at holidays, at Halloween. But then there's the major transformation that I just want to finish on is found in Romans chapter 12, where in verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In this passage of Scripture, it's talking about a complete change of nature. That we can be changed and our nature is completely changed. And that's what the Bible calls salvation. New Testament Bible salvation. Now, the word that's used here in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That word transform is the word metamorpho. And it means the outside is changed. But he mentions, he actually mentions two transformations in verse 2. First of all, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That means to be changed on the outside. Be ye transformed. But then the second transformation he's talking about follows by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind is the transformation that completely alters your nature. So what he's saying is, if we have our mind renewed by salvation, that means our nature is altered. Our nature is changed. He says, then when that happens, you will be transformed outwardly. The way you view life, the way you live, the way you look, the way you dress, it'll be altered because you then want to spend your life pleasing God. So when the inside is changed, the outside changes. Too often, people think Christianity is just changing the outside. And that's not Christianity. You can make New Year's resolutions. You can say, I'm going to lose weight. You can say, I'm going to be kinder. I'm going to be more forgiving. And we can change the outside. But that's not being saved. Changing the outside will not take you to heaven. In fact, Jesus in confronting the Pharisees one day, he said, you guys all look real religious. He said, you look good on the outside. He said, you act very pious, you close your hands when you pray, you walk around gingerly with your robes on, you look very religious. He says, but inside, he said, you guys stink. He says, you're like a grave that's all decorated on the outside, but you get beyond the decorations and it's nothing but filthy rot and it stinks. And Jesus said, that's what you guys are. And just to prove his point, they looked at him and they said, well, we'll kill you. Enough said. Enough said. I told you that's what you were all about and you verified it. You look good on the outside. I thought about this the other day when on the news they said that our special forces went into Iraq and rescued 75 prisoners that ISIS was going to kill after they had their morning prayers. I thought, isn't that sweet? They're going to go to Allah. Okay, now let's go slit the throat of these guys. I tell you what, folks, hopefully this world's going to get ripe for salvation in Jesus Christ pretty quick. You'd think that people would be smart enough to see through that evil. But I thought it was so strange on the news. They said, as soon as these guys have their morning prayers, they're going to go slit the throats of these hostages. I thought, wow, what a prayer life. What a strange world we live in. But the renewing of your mind that Paul mentions here is a complete transformation. And I'm just going to finish with 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it tells us this, just simply says this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This verse of Scripture talks about a transformation that changes us from one form to another. It's a complete transformation. It's what salvation is all about. Before a person trusts Christ as their Savior, they're a lost sinner. They're totally lost, guilty of their sin, bound for hell. You trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you. You're made new from the inside out. That's transformation. That's complete transformation. That's having your mind renewed. That's what salvation is all about. And you know what? Jesus has been doing this for thousands of years. He's been transforming people. Not just putting on a mask to where, you know, you look different on the outside, but you're the same person on the inside. Jesus has been changing people from the inside out. He's been changing them from a complete metamorphosis, complete transformation. And my friend, I hope every one of us has had that transformation today. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor Bob, I have not been saved. I have not had that transformation. I've tried to change my life. I've tried to do things differently. I've tried to make better decisions. But you know what? I would love to be changed into a completely different person. I guess that's really what I need. God can do that. God can change you on the inside. He can transform you. This is through the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, something happens. It may not. Sometimes it happens instantaneously. Sometimes it takes time. Some metamorphoses take time. But it will happen. God will change us from the inside out through salvation. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Bob, I've never been saved, but I would like to be saved today. Would you pray for me? Just slip your